Thank you, Charlotte. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you this day. May we hear your word. May it touch our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Every organization has a set of core values. These are the fundamental beliefs and guiding principles of how the company functions. People are told when they're looking for employment in a company that they're not familiar with to always go on their website and see what the core values are, so you'll know what they find to be important. These core values direct behavior. And these core values establish what is right and what is wrong and how the company responds to it. These core values become a benchmark for everything that they do, for how well the company or organization functions and whether they're fulfilling their goal. For example, the North Central Conference Council of the Girl Scouts of America have core values of building girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. That's their core values. The core values are meant to drive a company, an institution, or organization, although it's not always the case. But when it happens that they don't have those core values, the group drifts aimlessly. Today we begin a Lenten message series entitled Living Right Side Up in an Upside Down World. Look at the front of your bulletin and you'll see our graphic for this next few weeks. And this idea, this sermon series is based upon the found in Matthew 5. And it's connected to our mission statement here at the church, our core values. You can see them hanging on the walls next to me. Love God, love others, serve the world. So why did we use the Sermon on the Mount for this? Well, because in these verses, we get a clear picture of what Jesus expects of his disciples and how they are supposed to act towards each other and the world. And over the next week, Ann and I will be examining what the core values of the church are to be and hopefully be challenged to adopt these core values ourselves based upon these scriptures. Just a word about the setting for our scripture lesson for today in particular. If you go back one chapter and read in chapter 4, you'll see that Matthew has Jesus just beginning to teach and heal and begins to move through the Galilee. And it becomes more and more obvious as he does that he had to give people some more directions. He couldn't just pass through and give them a tidbit or two. He needed to give them something more essential, something more core. So Matthew tells us that Jesus went up on a hill and sat down. Now, that's kind of an odd thing. You'd think, well, he would stand up to preach, to teach. But the rabbis would always sit down. You remember when Jesus went to the synagogue to teach in the synagogue, he sat down. That's what a rabbi did. And everybody sat around him. And Jesus began to teach. His teaching was simple and direct and to the point. And it left little room for exceptions. He starts by describing them with a very special word. In Greek, the word is makarios, and oftentimes that word is translated as blessed. Our scripture lesson today had it translated as blessed. Some of your translations may have it translated as happy. But I want us to consider expanding how we understand that word. I agree with Dr. Mark Davis, who points to the teaching of Jesus here and says this is a radical discourse. This is not a warm devotional soundbite. Perhaps these pronouncements offer us a way of describing the pursuit of happiness as something other than a selfish pursuit of comfort, or rather the pursuit of a good life, noble life, integrity, and nonconformity. So Jesus is describing what a good and normal life is about in these teachings. And we repeat this phrase over and over and over again in this first part of Matthew in the next 9 verses. You see, these are core values for Jesus. If we ought to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, these verses tell us. This is where we start. I think very often we overthink the faith by complicating it with many things that we think are important, and we hold up as litmus tests. But when we read what Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew and what he taught, he is not complicated at all about it. The words of Matthew 5 are the core of his message. The first thing he holds up is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, we often dismiss this particular one because we live in abundance and we live in comfort and we have few things that we lack, and few of us in this room have known poverty. Brothers and sisters, this text has little to nothing to do with our financial situations or the things we possess. But what Jesus is saying is that all of us, regardless of our economic status, all of us are spiritually deprived, even to the point that we could be called spiritual beggars. But the blessedness comes with our awareness of this condition, becoming aware of where we are and what we have and what we don't have and what we need. And instead of trying to claw our way out of it ourselves or pull us up by ourselves up by our own bootstraps, we throw ourselves at the door of mercy and cry out to God who is merciful. Those that are spiritually poor acknowledge that they stand in need of what God, through Jesus Christ, has made possible. Those who acknowledge that they are spiritually poor are aware that they need God, as Ruth Ann told our children. Now, the impact that this will have on a receptive disciple is that they will receive the indescribable joy of realizing that they're part of the kingdom of God that is here and that is coming. This is in direct opposition to the prevailing attitude of that day about the Roman Empire. The word that is translated here as kingdom is probably better translated in its context as empire. For you see, the Roman Empire was in charge. The Roman Empire was in control. The Roman Empire was all over. The people could not move without that being the case. Here, Jesus is saying that the divine empire, the empire of God, will transform everything, and that persons who know of their need for God and know of their dependence upon God will be part of what God is doing. They will be part of the kingdom, the empire of God. This, brothers and sisters, is a core value of what being a follower of Jesus is about. Next, Matthew records that Jesus says, blessed are those that mourn. And certainly part of this mourning is the mourning that we have from our human loss. Everybody in this room knows about that. Every parent, every child, every spouse or dear friend that dies, we mourn and we grieve. And sometimes that goes on for weeks or months or years because our heart is broken. But what Jesus is describing here is more. He is telling the people that their mourning is rooted in sin. Sin that dwells within them all. It causes the greatest grief when we understand that our attitudes, that our actions drive us away from God and drive us away from His mercy and His grace. It is grief that will paralyze us and make us unable to function. But when we realize that our mourning, that in our mourning is there's something that we can and should turn over to God. When we realize that our mourning is not something we should hold on to, but give it to God. And when we do, what we experience is being comforted. We feel the support and encouragement and assurance. When I was in my very first appointment, the ladies of my church were very gracious to let me come and learn how to quilt with them. They did it every week. In fact, they did it so often that they had quilting racks suspended from the ceiling. And when they weren't in use, they pulled them up to the ceiling. And when they were in use, they'd lower them down. Well, they taught me how to quilt. I was not good. But they gave me straight things and told me to do it as closely as I could. Oftentimes, quilts are called comforters because they make us feel warm and safe. Comforters. Note that in the scripture, Jesus doesn't promise us that we'll be comfortable. No, he says we will be comforted. And it's no accident that he uses this word, because in the Gospel of John, and then again in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is described as a comforter for us. In our wounded state, the Holy Spirit will flood into us and we'll be able to live as Jesus directs. We'll be comforted. This is another core value of being a follower of Jesus. Let me close this morning by mentioning again the mission statement of our congregation. Central United Methodist Church exists to love God, love others, and serve the world. We live this out in the core values that Jesus puts before us in the Scripture, specifically in the Sermon on the Mount. We don't let outside forces divert us from our mission to love God, love others, and serve the world. We don't let added stuff pile on so that we lose sight of our mission to love God, love others, and serve the world. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we approach him with a poor spirit, awaiting and expecting to experience God's empire in our lives. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we acknowledge our mourning for our sinfulness and open ourselves to the comfort that God brings us through the Holy Spirit. There are core values for being a Christian, and they're found in Matthew 6. I urge you to read Matthew 5. I urge you to read it. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are so thankful for the revelation that Christ has given us on what you expect of us as we follow him. Forgive us, oh God, when we divert and move away. Forgive us, O God, when we are unable to be faithful. Help us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and comfort us so that we might indeed stay linked to you through him. These things we ask in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.